Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome once again to a session of Tafsirul Quran, where we go through the meaning of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we're going to be continuing with Surah Al-Baqarah. The aim, the objective, inshallah, today is to cover ayat number 119 through 123. As we always do, we're going to begin with the recitation of the verses, inshallah. Secondly, I will read from a translation of the Quran covering the verses that we have recited. And after that, inshallah, we will go into further discussion, reflection, and talking about what we can learn from the verses that we are studying today, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadhira. ولا تسأل عن أصحاب الجحيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به ومن يكفر به فأولئك هم الخاسرون يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها عدل ولا تنفعها شفاعة ولا تنفعها شفاعة ولا هم ينصرون. One of the translators of the Quran, he writes, starting with verse number 119, "We have sent you, O Prophet, with the truth, bearing good news and warning. You will not be responsible for the inhabitants of the blaze." Verse number 120, he writes, "The Jews and the Christians will never be pleased with you unless you follow their ways. Say, God's guidance is the only true guidance. If you were to follow their desires after the knowledge that has come to you, you would find no one to protect you from God or help you. Verse number 121, he writes, those to whom we have given the scripture, who follow it as it deserves, are the ones who truly believe in it. Those who deny its truth will be the losers. Verse number 122, he writes, children of Israel, remember how I blessed you and favored you over other people. And verse number 123, and beware of a day when no soul can stand in for another. No compensation will be accepted from it, nor intercession will be of use to it, nor will anyone be helped. So these are the ayats and the verses that inshallah we are covering here today, verses 119 through 123. So now let's go ahead and discuss what we can learn from here. Whenever it comes to the tafsir and the explanation of the verses, one thing I always like to do is talk about any kind of background information that might be relevant. This can either be a sababun nuzul, which means circumstances at the time of the revelation of the verse, or number two, it can be in regards to some of the history represented here within this verse, or that this verse is speaking about or addressing or talking about. So when it comes to the sababun nuzul, there are a couple of narrations that we can talk about and that will help to frame our understanding of these ayat, these verses. First and foremost, about verse number 120, وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى, that the Jews and the Christians will never be pleased with you until you follow their ways. The scholars of tafsir, they write, and there's a narration similar to this from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma as well, that they were constantly asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانُوا يَسَلُونَ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْهُدْنَى. They were constantly asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to discuss things further, to negotiate further, to push this conversation a little bit further down the road. Why don't we talk about it again later? Why don't we get together and talk about it some more? Why don't we get together and talk about it later? And the reason why they were doing that is that their hope was, إِذَا هَادَرَهُمْ وَأَمْهَلَهُمْ اِتَّبَعُوهُ وَوَافَقُوهُ. And the Prophet ﷺ, what they were hoping was that by delaying the conversation, the Prophet ﷺ might be hopeful that maybe that if he gives them more time, if he comes back and talks to them, that eventually they'll come around. You know, if you're having a negotiation with someone and someone has a discussion with you and then they say, okay, why don't we talk about this some more? That's a reason to be hopeful. So they kept on kind of pushing off the Prophet ﷺ and him presenting Iman and Islam to them. And they just kept on pushing it off. And the Prophet ﷺ was thinking that maybe there's some hope that they will believe and they will come around. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to say, no, this is not going anywhere. They're just spinning you in circles and they're just wasting your time. And ultimately, at the end of the day, they have no intent, they have no serious interest in listening to what you're saying, believing in your message. Rather, if anything, they'll never be completely okay with you unless and until you accept them and their ways and their religion and their ideas and their values and their philosophies. That's what they are actually interested in. Furthermore, in verse number 121, which we're going to talk about all these ayat in a little bit more detail, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are given the scripture and then they follow it to the best of their ability, or they follow it as it should be followed, they are the ones who believe in it, and those who disbelieve in it, then they are the losers. That it's mentioned within multiple narrations from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that there was a ship full of people. They were Christians that came with Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the remaining Muslims in Abyssinia, when they got the word from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had asked them to come back and join the Muslim community in Medina, when they set out from there, there were nearly 40 people, Christians of various places. Some of them were from Abyssinia, some of them were from different places in Asham, who basically said, "We would like to come with you, and we are interested in coming with you and accepting Islam and learning more about Islam." So this verse was revealed about those particular people, that they, even though they had been Christian previously, there was a sincerity to them. There was a desire to know the truth in their hearts, and that ultimately led them to the Prophet ﷺ, to the Quran, to Islam, and they became Muslim. And so these are the general kind of historical incidents that are, you know, going on at the time when these verses are revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at that particular time, there's a number of different things going on. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all in all, the point is that this is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a time where he is having a lot of different kinds of interactions with people from the Jewish and the Christian communities. There are some people like Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who are very sincere, who are well-intentioned, who have read the scripture with a clean heart, and then listen to the Prophet ﷺ, and they listen to the Quran, and then they embrace Islam. There are others, like some of the leaders of the Jewish community in and around Medina, who are basically trying to politically play games with the Prophet ﷺ. There are those from the Christian community who are, again, very sincere. They're coming into contact with the Sahaba, like Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they want to know more about Islam, and they're coming to accept Islam. But at the same time, there are some others who are not interested in accepting Islam, and that's why there's potential conflict, you know, being set up at that time with the Roman Empire and the Muslims, between the Roman Empire and the Muslims, because there are some who are not so open to the message of the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these verses are revealed at that particular time. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about before we go into the actual verses and discuss the meaning of the ayat, and we start talking about the language and the lessons that we can take from here, is how do these verses that we've read right now, recited and read the translation of, how do they fit into the bigger scope of the conversation that is happening here in Surah Al-Baqarah? So because this major section of Surah Al-Baqarah that we are actually concluding today, it started off talking about Bani Israel, the children of Israel, the followers, basically the descendants from Ya'qub alayhi salam, and particularly amongst them historically, it talked about the followers of Musa alayhi salam, and even then leading into their progeny, the people at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Jewish tribes at that time, and so on and so forth. So it talked about them, it talked about their history, it talked about them right now, it talked about what are some of their faults and failings, what do they believe in, what do they say they believe in, what do they actually believe in, so on and so forth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the signs and the signs of Allah, the true message of Allah, what is actually what Allah has demanded from humanity. What has Allah actually commanded us to believe in? Now that we've talked about all of this, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He starts off by talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he is the one who has been sent with the message and the signs and the verses of Allah. Number two, it then talks about his experiences and basically the Prophet ﷺ's experiences with two groups of people. There are those people who will not believe in you, who will not follow you, who are not interested in listening to you. Then what is going to be your interaction with them? And secondly, there's going to be a group of people who will believe in you, who will follow you, who will listen to you sincerely and genuinely. And they will internalize the message. What is your interaction with them? What is that going to be like? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. And then in the last two verses that we're going to be studying here today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this section and this passage on Bani Israel specifically. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next passage, of course, we're going to be going into the discussion on the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So now let's take a look at the verse 119. Allah says, "Inna arsalnaka," most definitely we sent you. And this is referring and speaking directly to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilhaqi, we sent you with the truth. Now what does that exactly mean? So, al-muradu bilhaq, al-muradu min al-haqi, al-deenu wal-Qur'an. Now there's many different things that the haq can refer to, right? Believing in the oneness of God is a part of the truth. Okay, the Quran is the truth. Believing in the oneness of God is truth. The Quran is the truth. Believing in the finality of the Prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truth. All right? But all in all, in its totality, it's referring to everything pertaining to the deen and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes Tawheed and Risalah and Akhirah, believing in the hereafter, the Qur'an, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, so on and so forth. All right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, most certainly we sent you, O Muhammad ﷺ, with the truth. Bashiran wa nadhiran. Bashiran wa nadhiran. All right. Bashir comes from the root word which refers to something that is soft to the touch. And that's why the skin of the human being is also called bishr. And bashir, from tabshir, basically refers to what typically we see translated as glad tidings, or giving good news, congratulating someone, encouraging someone, congratulating someone. And the next word, nadir, the word nadir comes from indar, which means to warn. Which means to warn, okay? And that is to warn people of harmful things, detrimental things, and the consequences of not doing the right things, all right? That what will happen to you when you do things that are wrong, the punishment of Allah, the wrath of God, the consequences of our sins, and so on and so forth, all right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the truth, as someone to congratulate the people, encourage the people, and also warn the people, and tell the people about what is wrong and what will happen if they do not change their ways. And then, so first and foremost, this is being mentioned as a reiteration, as an affirmation of the role and the position and the status of the Prophet ﷺ. That you are an advocate of the truth, and you will encourage people and you will warn people. That is what you do, that is your job. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting next. He says, وَلَا تُسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. And you shall not be asked. You will not be questioned. You will not be held accountable. عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. About the people of hellfire. Now what does that exactly mean? What that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that your job is to deliver the message clearly, properly, absolutely. But then what they do with it, if they don't follow, if they don't listen, if they don't believe, then that is on them. Then you can't control that. And there's so many verses in the Quran which talk about this. In Surah Al-Ra'd, Surah number 13, ayah number 40, Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your job is to deliver the message. And Allah says, our job, meaning Allah's role, is to hold them accountable. That's Allah's job, to hold them accountable, hold them responsible. Your job is to deliver the message. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Ayahs 21 and 22, Allah said, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرٍ. Remind them, for you are the one who reminds people. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. You are not responsible for making them do anything. In Surah Qaf, ayah number 45, Allah says, نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. We know best of what they say, and you are not responsible for what they do. Remind with the Quran those who will heed the warning. Those who will heed the warning, those who will listen to what you are saying, remind them using the Quran. In Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, Ayah number 52, Allah says, مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It's not your job to hold them accountable. In Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, Ayah number 8, Allah says, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ. Do not grieve and kill yourself out of grief over these people not listening and not believing. In Surah Al-Kahf, Surah number 18, Ayah number 6, Allah says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. That you're going to end up destroying yourself over what they do and their choices and their decisions, that they will not believe in what you are presenting to them. So the grief and the sorrow and the sadness from that is going to end up destroying you. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that absolutely the message needs to be delivered properly. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Deliver the message in its entirety completely. وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. And if you do not do it to the best of your ability, you haven't fulfilled your responsibility. Alright? أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Call to the way of your Lord, the path of your Lord, with wisdom and a beautiful reminder. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. That say, this is my way, this is my path, that I invite to Allah with clarity and knowledge and substance. But once you've done that, then from that point on forward, it's not your responsibility. You don't have to twist and turn their arm. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. It's not your job to guide them. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Rather, it is God who guides whomsoever He wills. So that's why Allah says, وَلَا تُسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. You, O beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not be held accountable, responsible. You will not be questioned. You will not be interrogated about the people and the inhabitants of hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And then in verse number 120, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we've already read the translation, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. That ultimately at the end of the day, the Jews and the Christians will not be totally satisfied with you unless and until you follow their religion, you follow their ways. Okay? Now, the objective behind this, as I mentioned the narration as well about the historical context, is that they kept on kind of prolonging the conversation with the Prophet ﷺ and kept kind of, as they say, you know, kicking the can further down the road. And the Prophet ﷺ was hopeful that, okay, maybe the door's still open. Maybe they just want to keep talking and hopefully that will lead to them believing. And that's not wrong for the Prophet ﷺ to hope for that. The Prophet ﷺ was an optimistic person, and the Prophet ﷺ was very deeply invested into the salvation of each and every single human being. So it makes sense. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Prophet ﷺ that that's fine, but don't let them waste your time. Don't let them delude you. Don't let them pull you into other kind of, you know, tricks and plots and plans of theirs. Because keep in mind that they will not ultimately ever be totally satisfied with you unless and until you become just like them. And if I may, there's one idea here that's very interesting to think about. Under normal circumstances, like obviously here we're talking about the truth and then falsehood, that's different. But generally speaking, I mean, that's a very logical thing. That makes sense, right? Everybody wants for, you know, everyone wants other people to come and join them where they are. Okay, I'm sorry for using a silly example, but I'll go ahead and use it nonetheless, right? That if I'm, you know, right here, Cowboys fan, and I have a friend, I of course want my friend to be a Cowboys fan along with me and to root for my team, okay? So that's just, there's just a very kind of natural human desire to bring other people to you, to bring other people on board with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, yeah, they're invested the same way. And not to say that that's fine, that's okay. It's okay for them to be that way, you know, because we're talking about truth and falsehood. However, what it is saying is that it's telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you need to understand and identify that so that they are not able to take advantage of your goodwill. Because see, the Prophet ﷺ had an endless amount of goodwill. The Prophet ﷺ was the most fair, sincere, optimistic, kind, generous human being that ever walked the face of this earth. And so there were bad people who would just take advantage of that and who would not respect that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will not be fully satisfied until you follow their religion. So what do you need to do? You need to set your boundaries very clearly. قُلْ say, إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. That the guidance of God is the only true guidance. The guidance of God is the only true guidance. The religion as revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only true religion. The scripture, the wahi, the revelation, the Qur'an sent by Allah is the only revelation, the only scripture, the only Qur'an. The messenger sent by God is the only messenger. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as instructed to us by Allah is the only proper worship. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ And if you end up following their desires. And that's very interesting. The Qur'an does this sometimes where it switches, right? Initially it said, مِلَّتَهُمْ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ Until you follow their religion, their tradition. Okay? Then it says, if you were to follow their desires. What did that do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switched the word from مِلَّة to هَوَى. From مِلَّة to هَوَى. Hawa means desires. Why? That is informing us of the fact. That is informing us of the reality. That once upon a time they might have had a religion. But because they moved away from revelation and they became more and more invested into their personal desires, their religion eventually became a manifestation of those desires. A manifestation of those desires. Right? Just think about it in terms of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly in the Qur'an has said that intoxicants, wine, alcohol is haram, impermissible. And that swine, pig, is impermissible. These two things are impermissible. Okay? If somebody comes right now and they say, but though I like those two things, if somebody who calls himself a Muslim, they come and they say, but I like these two things, I want to indulge in these two things. And then they start to redefine the terms, they retranslate the verses, they alter and change the rulings to accommodate their desire for those two things, that person is no longer following Islam. That person is no longer following the Quran. That person is no longer following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person is no longer acting on the deen, the religion of Allah. That person is now following their desires. They might be masking their desires as their interpretation of the religion, their interpretation of the Quran. They might be doing that, right? But it does not change the fact that that person at that point in time, in that situation, is just purely, simply following their desires. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully inserted here. وَلِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. And if you were to follow their desires, بَعْدَ الَّذِي, after الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, after the knowledge that came to you, the Qur'an given to you, and for all of us, even though the Prophet Muhammad is being addressed here, this is really, really actually a lesson and an instruction and a guidance and a warning for us. For us. Because it's telling us that there's going to be a lot of different people out there, a lot of different groups and religions and ideologies and philosophies and so on and so forth. And that's fine. Right? We need to figure out how to live and how to exist. We don't need to constantly be engaged in, you know, war and conflict with everyone. No. Right? We need to figure out how everybody can live peacefully. But at the same time, there's a big difference between figuring out how we can all respect each other and respect each other's boundaries versus trying to appease one another. And in trying to appease one another, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us, that they're never completely, totally going to be pleased with you unless and until you follow their religion word for word. And then Allah said that, no, rather remind yourself that the only true guidance is from Allah. And if you end up following and succumbing to their desire-based structures, after the fact that you have the Qur'an and you know who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is and you know what Islam is, مَالَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ, then there will be no one left. You will have no ally. You will have no one left to protect you, because Allah will not be in your corner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will no longer be your protector and your ally. وَلَا نَصِيرٍ, and you will not have anyone to help you. There will be no one to protect you from Allah. There will be no one to help you when the reckoning and the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. May Allah protect us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us on the right side of these matters. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ آتِيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, those whom we gave the scripture, those whom we gave the book to, the scripture. Okay, now who is this talking about? So there are two interpretations of this. Both explanations, both interpretations, going all the way back to the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the early scholars of tafsir of the Quran. The first interpretation of this is that الَّذِينَ أَتِيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, that this is referring to the people, This is referring to the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. The second explanation or interpretation is that this is referring to the Muslims. All right, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Allah say next? Allah says, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. If you translate this very literally, it means those who recite it as it deserves to be recited. But I'm going to be talking about this a little bit later in some of the takeaway lessons and the reflections. It can also be understood as those who act on it as it deserves to be practiced. Those who practice what is said in the scripture as it deserves to be. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those are the people who believe in him or it. Okay? وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ. And though the one who disbelieves in him or it, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Then those people are the total absolute losers. They've lost in this world and they most definitely have lost everything in the life of the hereafter. Okay, now what am I talking about, him or it? So going back to that two interpretations I talked about, if this is talking about the people of the book, if this is talking about the Christians and the Jews, then it's saying that the people who he had given some scripture to, they had the Torah, they had the Injil, right? They had the Torah and the Injil, that we gave them some scripture. And they read it properly. They tried to practice it to the best of their ability. And they were open-minded and sincere. They were clear-minded and they were sincere. Those people, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, those people will end up believing in the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because when they read the Qur'an, when they read their scripture, and they worship Allah, they worship God, however they are familiar with it, but because there is a deep down, there is a sincerity for the truth, there is a desire for the truth, there is a sincerity, a genuineness that they have to please their Creator, even though they might not have all the correct information. Whenever they come into contact with the Qur'an, whenever they come into contact with the Prophet ﷺ, whenever they come into contact with Islam, because of their sincerity, because of their genuineness, they're going to see and identify the truth. They're going to identify with that truth. And they're going to gravitate towards it. And then they will embrace it and accept it with an open mind and open heart, most importantly. And they will end up believing in the Prophet ﷺ. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ. And if they still reject the Prophet ﷺ, فَأُولَٰئِكَمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, then they're total absolute losers. Then they've lost everything. They are ruined. Okay? That's one interpretation. And that is stated by, that is one of the tafsir that is given by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and many of the early Mufassirun, Imam al-Tabari, Ibn Kathir, many others mentioned this. Number two, the second tafsir of it is that this is talking about the Muslims. This is talking about Muslims. Okay? How would that work? الَّذِينَ آتِينَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, the people who receive the Qur'an, the people who have the Qur'an, okay? يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَوَتِي. And it's not enough to just be born into a Muslim family, have a Muslim name, right? And then just call yourself Muslim. Well, that's good. And maybe we pray, hopefully, inshallah, that is still enough for salvation. May Allah grant us all salvation. But my point is, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَوَتِهِ. That's not all. Then they recite it to the best of their ability. As they deserve, they recite it as it deserves to be recited. They practice it, they act on it, they live in accordance with it, as it deserves, as it demands from them. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those are the people that truly believe in the Qur'an. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ. But people who disbelieve in the Qur'an and reject the Qur'an, فَأُولَٰئِكَمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, then they are ruined. So these are the two explanations that are given for this verse, verse number 121. If somebody asks the question, which one is it? Well, it's both at the same time. Because that is the beauty, that is the eloquence, that is the depth, that is the miraculousness of the Qur'an. This is the words of Allah, Kalam Allah. This is Kalamullah. This is the speech of God Himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us multiple things at the same time within the same words. And that's part of the beauty of the Qur'an. And then in ayah number 122, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Israel. Now if that sounds familiar, because when we started this passage, the whole section, right, this whole huge section, like 70, 80 odd verses, okay, discussing, or nearly actually like 90 verses, discussing Bani Israel, it started with Ya Bani Israel. And it's concluding once again with Ya Bani Israel. And that is part of the beauty and the eloquence of the Qur'an. That it's ending where it started. And it's not just doing that for aesthetics, right? It's not just doing that as like, for just the look of it. It's not just for style, is my point. It's not doing it just for the style, even though it is a very beautiful and powerful style within the Quran, uslub. But it's not doing it purely for style. There's also a lot of substance. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. First, let's take a look at the verse. Allah says, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, the children of Ya'qub alayhi salam, the progeny, the generations, the tribes that came from Ya'qub alayhi salam, Udhkuru, remember, recall, Ni'amati yallati an'amtu alaykum, my blessings that I showered upon you. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَلَمِينَ And I gave you preference over all the people of the world. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا And be conscious of the day. لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا No soul will be able to save another soul from anything. No soul will be able to do anything for another soul. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ And no, you know, compensation. No compensation, no ransom, no excuse, if you will be accepted from anyone. No compensation will be accepted from a soul in trying to save itself from its fate. وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ And no intercession will help anyone in the least bit. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ And nor will they be helped. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this here. Not only, just like I said, stylistically concluding the discussion on Bani Israel, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also repeats it here to remind and to reiterate and to emphasize the message. The message is what? Two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here at the conclusion is saying that if you still haven't learned the error of your ways, if you still haven't, you know, gotten the message, let me conclude here by reminding you of the two things. You know how sometimes you give someone a very lengthy lesson and then at the end of it, you know, you might say, listen, if you don't remember anything of what I said, just remember this one thing. Just remember this one thing. Sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, you know, there's so many beautiful teachings of Islam. What's one thing I can focus on? I'm a simple person, one thing. And he said, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْمًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ That keep your tongue always busy with the remembrance of God. Okay? So similarly here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you didn't get any of it, if you didn't pay attention, you don't remember all of it, remember two things. And these two things, if you do it sincerely and properly, it will save you. It will rescue you. It will help you. What are those two things? اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي Remember my blessings upon you. Because we talked about this during these sessions as well, that gratitude helps to build faith. Gratitude is the seed that grows into belief in iman and faith. Devotion, dedication. Because once you realize somebody's done something for you and you understand and realize what they've done for you, that grows into respect, admiration, devotion, dedication. If somebody does a huge favor to me, when they call me, I pick up their phone. I answer their call. Somebody who's tried to call me is probably like, oh, okay, that's how we get them to answer the phone. No, but seriously. Somebody who showed me a great kindness, if they show up on my door, unexpected, unannounced, Ahlan wa sahlan, marhaban, welcome, welcome. How may I be of assistance to you? Right away. So, udhkuru ni'amati allati. So think about the blessings of Allah. And in that while Allah was saying that to them, that's just something we need to pay attention to. Every day, remind yourself of the blessings of Allah. And you'll never struggle to do what you're supposed to do for Allah. Number two, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا And number two is always reflect on death, the life after death, the day of judgment, the life of the hereafter. Always reflect on that. And the more you reflect on the fact that we all have to leave this world, we all have to travel to the hereafter. We all have to answer to Allah how we've lived this life. We all have to answer questions about what we did with all the blessings and all the opportunities that Allah gave us. Just reminding yourself of that every day will help keep you on track. Those are the two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes with. And as kind of a part, you know, in closing, I guess I've kind of already gone into the section on some of the lessons and reflections we can take from these verses. Along with that, something else that I also wanted to mention particularly is the fact that, you know, the one tafsir of ayah number 121 that said it's talking about Muslims, الَّذِينَ أَتِينَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, right? That if it is talking about Muslims, it's saying the Muslims who were given the Qur'an, and then they either recite it as it deserves to be recited, which definitely is important. But then I'd said that it also has been translated and interpreted as those who act on it as it deserves to be acted upon. Those who live it as it deserves to be lived. Those who practice it as it deserves to be practiced. There's some very beautiful reflections that the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and others have shared with us about this. When it comes to reciting it properly, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he quoted this part of the ayah, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِي, and then he explained. He said, إِذَا مَرَّ بِذِكْرِ الْجَنَّةِ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِذِكْرِ النَّارِ تَعَوَّذَ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He said that when reciting it as it deserves to be recited, the Qur'an is that when you read a verse about paradise, you stop and you ask Allah for paradise. When you read a verse about the fire of hell, the punishment of God, you stop and you ask Allah for protection from His punishment in the fire of hell. And then acting on it, living in accordance with it, there's many beautiful reflections from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. What that means, يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اِتِّبَاعِهِ. That they follow the guidance and the truth of the Qur'an as it deserves to be followed. In another narration from Abu al-Aliyah, the famous Mufassir and student of the companions, he says that one of his teachers, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, that he swore by Allah, إِنَّ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أَن يُحِلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَيُحَرِّمَ حَرَامَهُ وَيَقْرَأَهُ كَمَا أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ, that this statement of they follow it to the best of the, as it deserves to be followed, excuse me, It means that when the Qur'an says something is permissible, they treat it as permissible. But when the Qur'an says something is off-limits, haram, they treat it as completely impermissible. And they read it as it was sent by God. وَلَا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ. They do not distort a single word or letter in the Qur'an. وَلَا يَتَأَوَّلُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا عَلَى غَيْرِ تَأْوِيلِهِ. And they would dare not interpret the Qur'an in an inappropriate manner. They never distort and misrepresent the meaning of the Qur'an. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, يُحِلُّونَ حَلَالَهُ وَيُحَرِّمُونَ حَرَامَهُ. When the Qur'an says something is okay, they recognize that this is okay. When the Qur'an says that something is wrong, they recognize that this is something that is wrong. وَلَا يُحَرِّفُونَ عَمَّ مَوَاضِعِهِ. And they do not distort the Qur'an, not in words and not in meanings. They never distort the Qur'an. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, when the great Tabi'un and students of the companions, he says, يَعْمَلُونَ بِمُحْكَمِهِ. They act on the commandments of the Qur'an. They implement the commandments of the Qur'an. وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِمُتَشَابِهِهِ. And they believe in what the Qur'an tells them to believe in. يَكِيلُونَ مَا أَشْكَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِهِ. And anything that they do not understand or know in the Qur'an, they leave it to the person who does know it. That maybe there's someone more knowledgeable than them who knows it. Or ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. They will say, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam bis-sawab, and Allah knows best. So with that, inshallah, we're going to go ahead and conclude the tafsir class here for today. And the next session, inshallah, we'll go further, we'll go into the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and all the beautiful lessons that we can take from there. Inshallah, bi'nillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice everything we've said and heard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of the Quran, the ability to read and recite the Quran as it deserves to be read and recited. May Allah allow us to live the Quran and act on the Quran as it deserves from us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the Quran. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.